Hey, everybody. Welcome to the WOW. It's episode 29 here on Friday, September 20th, 2024. Mike Agovino and Woody Overton. Hey, Woody.
What's up, Floridian? Oh, you may not want people to know where you're at. Remember, you got this hit.
Oh, no.
You're from Pennsylvania. Those hits.
Well, at least I'll be warm and happy when they come get me. No, It's been a fun adventure down here. It's so funny. You go from state to state and how the critters change in this country from one state to another.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a major freaking iguana problem down here. And
really?
They're everywhere, dude. And people just kill them you're supposed to kill them. The problem is that bad that they want you killing these things.
Really?
And to me, they're cute. I mean, they're colorful. They're, some people have them as pets, right? So coming down here, I thought they were sort of, part of the thing here that people value them. And so I didn't know they just rip through vegetation, eat the living hell out of it. And
I was going to say,
they have
the I wonder what they taste like.
I wouldn't eat that skin anyway, but
you got to skin it out.
I've had to stop dead on a fairly busy road to let two huge ones cross.
Really? I knew they were having a python problem the last 15 years or so. People let their pythons out and they're all in a swamp and they're paying people to go out and catch them. I didn't know any of the iguanas. In Mexico and Caz and in Belize, they're everywhere.
Yeah. But I guess it's mostly south of here where they've got the big snake stuff because I'm closer to Palm Beach. But so one night I almost hit a fox. I'm like, what the hell is a fox doing crossing the road at night? And it was a big ass fox. Yeah. And then we're coming out of a mall and there's just been a huge storm and I'm going to get the car because it's still raining. And Miss Jerry is waiting for me at the mall exit and I'm watching her and it's dark. So she walks out and all of a sudden I see her stop in her tracks. And she's looking at something and then I can look and see and I can make out that there's something that she's there sort of faced off against.
Yeah.
And it looked like the head of a snake from where I was. So I started to freak out a little bit and I get out of the car and she's like, no, shh, and backs me off. And she goes, she didn't know the difference between a frog and a toad. She goes, it's a frog. And it's this huge, huge ass toad. I mean, this thing, I don't know what that thing would have weighed, but I mean, and it's just staring at her. It's just checking her. It's in no hurry to get away from her.
Yeah.
And it's just in a walkway that you would just come out of the mall in this walkway. And then we found out later from friends that I guess those toads are poisonous to dogs. They have a lot of issues with those toads and dogs.
Huh.
And so I'm like, what the hell is going on? I mean, it took me 3 years to get used to the critters in Louisiana. Now down here, we got a whole new thing. I got to worry about iguanas and poisonous toads and whatever the hell. So who knows?
No doubt. Hey, real quick, I've been remiss because I did two cat stories and I forgot to say Miss Jerry closed your ears. The one where the lady in front of her apartment complex stomped the cat's head and then ate it raw in front of everybody. And then another one, some lady did something else with a cat. I don't remember, but sorry, Miss Jerry.
Here's the thing. That Miss Jerry doesn't like to talk about too much is she doesn't really give a shit about the cats. She's all about the dogs could give a crap about the cats, which is terrible.
Right.
But I got a good one to start us off with.
Later.
And I'm thinking that Swim probably did a little bit of this back in the day. So, I'm sure Swim probably took a joyride or two with the parents' car prior to age 16. Right?
Let me tell you something real quick. I don't even have to use Swim on this one, but my parents would go to bed at 9 o'clock and at 9:05, I was out the window and their house was on top of a hill. I'd get in my dad's Lincoln, I'd put it in neutral and push it and roll it all the way down to the highway and crank it up and go. And I used to 9 o'clock, they'd go to bed. By 10 o'clock, I was climbing to some girl's window or drinking a beer somewhere.
That's okay. Probably my so at is. What age? Oh, you're 13, you're 14, 13, you're doing 14, that? How old are you?
13. You know, ever since the first time I did it, probably at age 13.
Yeah. Okay. I think I probably was 2 years behind you, maybe doing it at 15 or so. But listen to this story, because I think we both need to be impressed by this. I don't know how the hell she did it, but an 8-year-old girl in Ohio was jonesing to go do some Target shopping. Apparently she loved shopping at Target, and she loved shopping at Target.
I don't know how she could do that when everything's locked up behind the glass now, right?
That's true. Well, maybe in this area of Ohio, things are still pretty safe. But anyway, she wanted to go Target shopping so badly that she jacked her mother's SUV and drove. Right. This 8-year-old girl drove 10 miles to an area Target. So the pint-sized shopaholic gave her folks a major scare and sent police scrambling. So she's spotted driving this Nissan Rogue, and there's video. So people see her, and she's swerving, you know, kind of between the lanes. And so a car that's pulling up to her on the right and seeing her swerving into that lane gets concerned. Somebody turns on a mobile phone and starts filming, and the guy turns and goes, I think that's a little girl, to his wife, right? And yeah, you can see that video, but I don't know how she reached the pedals and could see out of anything, but anyway, despite her lack of precise driving skills, she actually made it the 10 miles to that Target and got out. And with $400 cash, where the 8-year-old got her $400 cash, I don't know, but she goes into the Target and begins shopping. And the cops finally get a call from the parents saying, our kid is missing, and so is our car. And then a neighbor's video cam footage shows the 8-year-old getting into the car and taking off with the car at like 6:30 in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. And so they finally figure out what's going on. And then they get a call about the car being found in this Target parking lot. So they walk into that Target, and there's the 8-year-old, and she's just shopping like nothing's going on. She's just spending her $400 after driving her car the 10 miles. And I mean, and the cops just, you know, thought it was hysterical. So they're posting stuff online about it. One cop said, well, I finally found a woman who's in more of a hurry to shop at Target than my wife. That's right. An 8-year-old took mommy's car this morning and drove to Target to shop. Not sure what she bought or if she was even able to use her Target app to save 5%. We did let her finish her Frappuccino. We're not mean, the guy said. Oh, so
that's funny. Actually, Cindy was telling me about that story this morning. Said it's a big deal on TikTok. Everybody's blowing up on her. Right? 8-year-old. That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, I bet that's a, you know, she'll be the next Hawk-Tua on that one. She'll get some social media fame, and apparently she did smash into a mailbox, but that was and did a little bit of damage to her parents' Rogue, and right. And they got to buy somebody a mailbox, but she's famous. If I was Target, she'd be all over my ass. I'd be doing something with her immediately in ads.
Definitely,
that's probably the first move.
Definitely. Well, let me take you away from Ohio. You ever been to Switzerland?
You know, I almost went a couple of times. I have not.
One of the most
beautiful.
Yeah. It's one of the most beautiful places on earth. And if you go, you need to go to Lucerne. That was my favorite place when I was there. And I think it's burned down now, and they rebuilt it. But they had this bridge from like the 1300s something that goes over this lake, and as you walk, it's a wooden bridge, and as you walk, they have hand carved pictures at each like trestle that holds the roof up. It's a bridge with a roof for pedestrian traffic. Just absolutely amazing, beautiful place. And the Disney World Castle is a real castle. It sits up above the clouds on this mountain. I can't forget which part. It might have been close to Lucerne, but you can't go up there. But it's that castle with those colors and everything else is pretty crazy. But let me tell you about something that's not so good in Switzerland. A former Miss Switzerland finalist was strangled and savagely dismembered by her husband, who then paraded her in a blender.
What?
Yep. Cut her up. And put her in the blender. And I was joking on last week's WoW, or on Monday's WoW with Cindy about how I'd cut her up and use her as catfish bait to get rid of her. Well, this guy prayed this lady in a blender. So Christina Joksimovic, 38, was found slain.
I think that's Joksimovic would be the Joksimovic.
Joksimovic. Yeah, I always get the good names. 38 was found slain in her home in Bingen near the city of Basel in Switzerland. Her 41-year-old husband, who was only referred to as Thomas, was taken into custody but had appealed for his release, which was rejected on Wednesday by the country's federal court in Lucerne. And I've actually been there. The saying, I don't know, I'm getting the name wrong. After he confessed to killing her, right? And the ruling, which brought horrific new details about the murder to light, said the ongoing investigation has revealed concrete indications of mental illness in the case, you think? The model's husband, yeah, and we'll try to get this picture posted. She's, I can see why she was a model. We'll leave it at that. The model's husband and father of their two daughters admitted that he killed her, but said it was to protect himself after she had previously attacked him with a knife. However, medical experts found no evidence of self-defense and identified her cause of death as strangulation. Then he must only blended up part of her if they can find all that out. But her body was dismembered with a jigsaw knife, garden shears, according to the autopsy. Several of her body parts were then chopped up with a hand blender or parade and dissolved in a chemical solution, according to the same autopsy report. Thomas was arrested the day after her body was found, initially telling investigators the month prior that he had found her dead and dismembered her body in their laundry room in a panic. I don't know how the insanity comes in on that. Thomas showed a noticeably high level of criminal energy. That's a new term for me. Lack of empathy.
Okay.
And cold bloodiness. But no, say it.
Cold-bloodedness.
I don't know where my tongue is. It's more
cold-blooded. Like he's a cold-blooded guy.
Right. After killing his wife and trying to cover up, according to prosecutors. Now, Jokas, what's her name again? You don't have to blame it. People are used to me fucking it up.
Joksimovic.
Joksimovic was crowned Miss Northwest Switzerland in 2007, was a finalist for Miss Switzerland. She later ran her own business as a catwalk coach. Oh, I guess for models, I was thinking about cats. And mentored model Dominique Rinderschnitt for the Miss Universe pageant in 2013. Thomas was a successful entrepreneur, and their family lived in a large home with a picturesque view overlooking Basel. They posed a picture-perfect family on their social media with an Instagram post just weeks before her death, showing her and Thomas on a couple's getaway on Lake Lucerne. That's the same one I'm saying about. Wow, right? Crazy.
Certainly sounds like they had it all going for themselves. I don't know what might have gone wrong there, but the whole idea of, he was shocked to find her, and then his instinct was to cut her up. I mean, who would do that?
Maybe he's going to drink her. I don't know.
Maybe he
never know what goes on. You never know what goes on behind closed doors, and whether it's a male or a female, no matter how fine they are, somewhere someone's tired of their shit.
Well, she is a tall drink of water, so yeah, well, he might have decided
she's
to
a tall drink of Perrier now. Yeah,
of not something else.
Certainly not making fun of a dead person.
Not a good way to go. Yeah, Thomas is going to go to the clink in Switzerland for a while.
You're down in Florida. I know you're a huge golfer. I know you got to tell me about the latest assassination attempt on Trump.
Well, here's what's so weird is, you know me, I'm normally glued to the TV or multiple TVs on Sunday watching NFL because I got action going on every game.
Right.
But Miss Jerry had just gotten here that day. She had just flown in that morning. And so I got her and wanted to take a drive up the coast with her and show her there because she hadn't been here yet. Mm-hmm. And so we get in the car and there's A1A is the road that is sort of the equivalent of Pacific Coast Highway. You just flip flop right to this side of the country. So you're right along that Barrier Beach strip going all the way. You know, we started in the Boca Raton area going up toward Palm Beach. And we're talking the whole way. I haven't watched TV. I haven't listened to anything. I have no idea what's supposedly happened. And one of the things you marvel at when you get here is just how strong the police presence is, period. I mean, there are cops everywhere.
Yeah.
And it feels good to have cops everywhere, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, you're not going to get away with driving 85 or whatever in these 60-65 speed, but it's nice to see all the police. But anyway, as we're going further and further north, and we get to the south part of Palm Beach there on A1A, all of a sudden we start to see more and more and more police cars until finally, there is just on both sides of the road, there is just a long line of cars, sheriffs, local guys too, standing outside their vehicles, looking at every car coming by. I saw a couple of cars that had been pulled over. We were still going maybe 5, even 10 miles an hour. So it wasn't like they were stopping every car and asking a question before you could go. They were just slowing everybody down and looking in. And I'm like, something's up, honey. This is weird. And I don't really know the area. So I didn't know where we were. And then I all of a sudden see the sign for Trump National, whatever the heck it's called. So that road takes you right by the course there, except that they wouldn't let us continue going. They forced us right at that point to go back inland and go over the intercoastal back toward the I-95. But as we were going over the intercoastal, you could see probably 5 or 6 boats loaded with guys in camo holding automatic. I'm like, holy shit. And then I told, pick out your phone, see what the heck's going on. And she immediately told me what was going on with Trump. And so really crazy to go by. I mean, I think officially the shots that the Secret Service fired was 1:31 PM. I think we were like 2:15 going through there. So we're going through 45 minutes after this happened. I don't know exactly what time they apprehended the guy on 95, because he got into the car in a parking lot. Somebody got the license plate, gave it to the cops, and then the cops roadblocked the I-95, which is, massive interstate, super busy, and got the guy. It must have been right about the time we were passing through there. They were getting him on the I-95. So crazy that, once again, we have all of this stuff going on with competence of the Secret Service. So this guy had been laying there, they say, for 12 to 15 hours. So he had gotten to that spot 12 to 15 hours in advance. It was you know, it's like heavy bushes outside of the fence line of the course. They didn't fly any kind of drone in advance of him playing. Secret Service said something about him playing that round not being part of the, you know, official itinerary or whatever. So that, I mean, they were claiming they didn't have the knowledge that he was doing that. But and then yesterday on Long Island, I don't know if you saw that. Did you see the bomb?
No.
Okay, so yesterday he's given a rally in Nassau County, Long Island, and they find they got a tip here too, but they find a car loaded with explosives. And so
close to where the rally was going to be.
I don't really know how close, but yes, definitely close. And they seem pretty certain that it was related to it all. So no one's called it yet a third assassination attempt, but there's something to it for sure on that
preteen when you go in. Just I've made it clear my views on fuck up and when he got shot but it doesn't make those people any less heroes in my life. And some lifers said, oh, you never, you know, worked a rally or you were just a volunteer handing out pamphlets and shit. I'm like, motherfucker, you have no idea what I've done. But so on an established rally like that, they'll go in and where vehicles are parked in the area, they're going to check every single one of them. And they will, a lot of times they'll tow not just suspicious vehicles, but anything. After they check it, you can't park in that area anymore. I'm not talking about just close. I'm talking about within a whatever their guideline is on that. So, man, I didn't know that about the bomb. And it could have been they were hoping he was going to drive in on that route and they were going to remote detonate it and try to get his vehicle drive by, which I'm sure is bulletproof. But back to Florida, I don't know if it's not on the itinerary, this dude just gets lucky and lays there for 12 to 15 hours, waiting, praying that Trump's going to play golf that day. I don't know. But I can tell you this, hats off to the motherfucker who saw the barrel sticking through the fence and started shooting at it. And so the Secret Service, you know, did their job on that part, that's for sure. And I don't know how you stop. I don't know. People from laying around that long, evidently they're going to have to step up security on him for sure. I mean, as if you didn't need a big enough reason to step it up. He's already been shot. And look, this is not political for me. I said it the other day on the show, I don't give a fuck if it's Harris or Trump or whoever. This is bullshit, man. They're going to start a fucking civil war is what's going to happen. Maybe that's what they want. I don't know.
Well, I don't think it's what by wants. I think what's so dangerous is, you know, all of this crap where one side calls the other side a threat to democracy and then vice versa. Yeah. That one's a threat to democracy. And this is the most important election of our lives. And if this one wins, it's all over. And if that one wins, it's all over.
Right.
It's so blown out of freaking proportion. They have so demonized this guy. It's like, did y'all forget he was president?
Yeah.
We had 4 years. We know, you know, he didn't start wars. He didn't, you know, the craziest thing he did was the occasional crazy tweet. And it's just, I think when you're in this sort of deep Washington, the whole way the government works, it's all so inbred and protected, and outsiders are so not welcome that, you know, this guy's lack of conformity to the way that establishment wants things done, the threat, if there's a threat, is that, you know, some institutions will be turned upside down and started anew, or responsibilities will fall in a new area versus an old area, because we're going to take the border seriously if he wins. And I saw the story this morning where you have, I don't know how high ranking this guy was, but they testified yesterday to Congress that they've known that they let in over 300 people with known terrorist ties over the last 2 years. And how the hell can you do that? And then that they were specifically told not to share the information with me. So the government asked the officials at the border not to share any data related to people with terrorist ties. And those folks are in the country along with the, you know, the known gotaways. We have no idea where any of these people are. Woody, do you know why I want to learn more Italian?
Why, Ago?
Because my niece is getting married next month, and that means a wedding full of these crazy Italians from out of town.
Huh. And when it comes to learning a new language, there's only one leader, Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone's the most trusted language learning program, period. Well, I've come a good ways using Rosetta Stone, but it's time to take it to the next level. My niece's wedding will be great prep for a trip I want to take next year.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. No English translations. Rosetta Stone helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention.
And the True Accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Lifetime membership has all 25 of the languages for the rest of your life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off.
There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today.
That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 languages for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, why are nearly one in three American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that doesn't turn into fat when you consume it. Instead, it turns into a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body.
So getting more MCTs in your diet is like flipping a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which flushes out excess fat and calories. And Dr. Gundry has created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it comes in a tasty drink form. It actually tastes good. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized.
So if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/RLRC and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. And again, that's GundryMD. .com/RLRC.
Awesome.
All right, good deal.
Yeah. That's pretty freaking dangerous. So anyway, the Trump stuff, I was going to mention the son of this guy, you know, we don't do the shooter names thing, but the son said some things that were I mean, if he wants to be a martyr, that's his choice. And he complained that voters are exhausted and embarrassed by candidates running for the White House. So this is his son saying, I hate this game every 4 years and think that we all do. And if my father wants to be a martyr to how broken and disassociated the process has become from the real problems and practical solutions, then that's his choice. I'm not saying that's what he's done or what he's about. That's just my own rant being fed up with all of this my entire adult life. South Park said it best, every 4 years we're forced to choose between a turd sandwich and a giant douche, and it all stays fucked in the same ways by different degrees, and we're exhausted and embarrassed by it all. I mean, that's the kind of mentality of the son, and so you know kind of what you're dealing with the father, and if you followed any of the track record of the father, this Ukrainian stuff and Iranian ties and everything else, I don't know. I mean, it certainly reads like somebody who could have been might have been influenced by someone like Iran on this thing. And then, of course, the second all of this happens, we have a renewed call for assault weapons bans. Yep. And, you know, nobody thinks for a second. I mean, this guy, because of his priors, was not allowed to own a gun, yet he had an assault weapon. And so you put a law in effect, you're not going to stop a guy like that from having an assault weapon.
Nope.
And, you know, Gavin Newsom immediately comes out with signs some bill in California. I mean, it's just the politicking around these things. And then a bunch of people blaming it on Trump. It's Trump's rhetoric is causing people to want to try and kill him. Okay. How's that work?
Then,
I don't know.
And, you know, my thought on these type of situations is exactly what's happened, obviously. And I didn't know about the bomb yesterday, but the breeze, just like school shootings and mass shootings and stuff like that, these things breed, they cause more and more. You know, I don't know what the answer is, but it's crazy, dude. And then we got kids growing up in this world. It's really, really crazy. So I don't know, but look, I'm bringing you back to Louisiana, and there's a gym teacher named Robert Mitchell, and he's 70 years old. He was arrested last week and charged with terrorizing after telling youngsters that he had bullets for his gun and he would bring it to the school and shoot, and that some of the students would not survive. Now, this genius.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, this is according to the Union Parish Sheriff's Office. They posted it on their Facebook, evidently.
Union Parish is where?
It's going to be way, way up north. And it's kind of like East Louisiana Parish, not a lot there. I can't really name one big town. But, I mean, you know, Parish is Parish, still has sheriff. And the sheriff also alleges that Mitchum told students that there was too many of y'all to get rid of, and he only had 6 bullets in his gun. Right? Motherfucker, you can't afford a box of bullets. But anyway, Mitchum told deputies he felt overwhelmed and just wanted the children to settle down, and said they wasn't threatening them. Mitchum was arrested 2 days after the threats and was ordered held on $15,000 bond and barred from returning to the Downsfield Community Center or Charter School while the case is pending. Well, I'm pretty sure he's never going back there again. Union Parish Sheriff Dusty Gates, who I actually met, he was a cool guy, but said the incident is a reminder to parents to report any worrisome or suspicious incidents to police and school officials. And the DCCS has 2 school resource officers on campus every day. That's what the sheriff said, Sheriff Gates. Please utilize these officers to discuss any concerns, especially those of, and that's true, y'all. I mean, you see something, say something, and do it. Look, this fucking asshole, I mean, he's a teacher or whatever, and you know, threatens the kids, you don't shut up, I got 6 bullets, I'm gonna kill y'all. I would be his fucking ass. How, my kid in the classroom.
How unaware of what's going on in the world do you have to be to think that you could possibly say something like that? And whether it was in jest or not, I mean, I can't tell whether this guy
70
was
70 years old. I mean, you ought to have more sense than that, right? I don't get it.
So, it's too many of y'all to get rid of. He only had 6 bullets in his gun.
Only 6 bullets.
Well.
I mean, just line them up against the wall and shoot them head to head. I mean, whatever. Like those kids weren't going to go tell that. You know, I don't know. But fuck him.
Well.
Yeah.
Yep. So Facebook owner, Facebook and Instagram owner, Meta, and CEO, Mark Zuckerberg appear to be sincerely trying to do something about some of this stuff. And on Tuesday, Instagram unveiled some major changes designed to make accounts of teenagers private. The way that they would do it, what they want to do is enhance parental supervision and set messaging restrictions as the default on devices that are in the hands of kids below the age of 16. So Meta said users under 16 will now need a parent's approval to change the restricted settings. Those settings are dubbed teen accounts, which filter out offensive words and limit who can contact them. So if you don't know the person, they're not in your contacts, it's not something that establishes them as safe, contact is not enabled. So it's addressing the same three concerns we're hearing from parents around unwanted contact, inappropriate contact, and the amount of time spent on devices. That's from Naomi Gleit, who is the head of product for Meta. With teens all being switched to private accounts, they can only be messaged or tagged by people they follow. Content from accounts they don't follow will be in the most restrictive setting, and the app will make periodic screen time reminders under a revamped Take a Break feature. Instagram, which is used by more than 2 billion people globally, has been under intense scrutiny over its failure to adequately address a broad range of harms, including the app's role in fueling the youth mental health crisis and the promotion of child sexualization. States have sued Meta over Instagram's, quote, dopamine manipulating features that authorities say have led to an entire generation becoming hooked on the app. So Zuckerberg has done some things, done a bunch of testifying in front of Congress, but indicated with his words and now actions, they're coming out and they're doing this before any of the other platforms are doing anything. And obviously you can still create a dummy account and probably get through the screening process to claim you're an adult, but you know, to have to run an imposter account kind of defeats the purpose that most teens are on Instagram. They want to be able to be themselves. Yeah. So this could be very helpful. I mean, it could be very, very helpful. So
it's a pretty good idea.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, they're finally doing something, and God knows it's yeah, with the pedophiles and all that, and all these people, we hear about these sting arrests where people are getting arrested. You know, I actually used to take part in these, and they meeting up with who they think are underage kids, and they get arrested. I actually arrested a cop, showed up in uniform in his police car to have sex with an underage kid. But this is one of the ways that they do it. They'll find another platform, I'm sure, but at least hats off for them for trying to do something. Nothing is going to stop the problem, but anything, I guess so.
For sure.
I don't know. And well, speaking of Instagram and all that good stuff, I've been putting out some more cooking TikToks, and I got some seasons sent to me by a pretty cool dude. And one is this barbecue sauce is fucking fire. Blue Hogs, whatever it is. It's like, I never tasted anything like it. It's not too spicy and not too sweet, but it's right in the sweet spot, if you will. Anyway, so doing a lot more of that kind of stuff, Aggo, but this, I'm not doing what this cat's doing. We've seen a run on influencers taking unnecessary risks to capture that perfect video or photo. Like, I see these people that get on the edge of the canyons and accidentally fucking fall in. But most of the time it works out, but sometimes you poke the wrong bear. Such is the case with influencer Stefan Janković. In wild video shows the moment the Serbian influencer found himself in a bear's den when the massive beast came home. Now he shared two clips of his close encounter, including one featuring himself face to face with the frightened beast, who could be seen sniffing at him with curiosity and alarm. The first footage shows him sitting at the bottom of the bear's den, looking up at the animal, who appears to be trying to size him up just outside the cave. The bear takes several steps closer, curiously sniffing the air and trying to get a sense of what's happening. Now, the petrified, but composed,
I don't know how he's composed either.
I mean, that's a fucking grizzly bear, man. I'm looking at the picture, y'all. The dude's just sitting there. And the bear's sniffing him.
That bear's head is like four times the size of the guy's head.
Massive. That's the biggest, except for a polar bear. That's the largest whatever animal on the planet, right? And he's carefully steps around the bear. And then the clip shows the bear sniffing his head and his cell phone as he slowly slides by. And the next shows him up a tree. Two curious bears below him. Well, somebody needs to somebody needs to tell this fucking genius that bears can climb trees, and that's the truth. One of the bears can be seen in the footage clawing at the base of the tree while looking up at him. It was not clear how long he had to stay up in the tree, but we know that he was eventually able to get down, or we wouldn't have these videos. Unbelievable how stupid some people are. You find a bear den, so I'm going to climb inside and video and shoot a video. It would be cool. And guess what it's like? Was it Goldilocks and the Three Bears? And the fucking bears come home? Yeah. It would have made a great video if the bear ripped this fucker's head off.
Oh my God. Well, look, the balls on this guy though. But to stay calm when the bear's doing that and like sneak by him, and then yes, bears can climb trees, but apparently, I mean, this guy figured that was the best place for him to defend his position from. And so he got high enough up it to where they couldn't get to him.
This bear's nose is bigger than this guy's whole fucking head. That's how big this grizzly is, y'all. So anyway,
you know, it's not, well, I don't know how many additional followers that guy would have got from the bear's den, but if you do the math, folks, I don't think it's worth it.
I don't think it's
worth taking those risks. So,
yeah.
Well, folks, should you or a family member be dismembered while trying to grow your Instagram followers in a bear's den? Have no fear. We have friends that can help.
That's right, Aggo. I even bet that Roy, Kristen, and Kristen have had a case or two of death by bear claws over the years. They'll fix up those nasty scratches, slap a fresh coat of paint on you, and have you sitting pretty by viewing day.
Magic happens underneath that humongous American flag in Broussard, Louisiana, where Louisiana Funeral Services and LA Pet Crematory are. Their outstanding team can handle death by violent bear attack or any other cause of death.
When it's time, you know where to go. It's lafuneralservices.com or lapetcrematory.com. Rest easy.
Rest easy. Wow, we nailed it. We got that one.
We've been doing 30 shows.
No, that was good.
Okay. All right. We love y'all.
That was good, Royce.
Roy, Kristen, Roy, I got a case I need you to help me with. Y'all, that's the only place in the state of Louisiana you can get your own independent autopsy on. And working a big deal out of Atlanta, and there's only one hang up in the whole case, but we'll get with Roy and Kristen and Kristen and see what they have to say about it.
Awesome. Well, you know, we've covered extensively the Nathan's 4th of July hot dog eating contest. Oh, and
this makes me want to puke this story.
And both of us are official members of the Joey Chestnut fan club. But an eating contest has finally jumped the shark, in my opinion, and should have everyone rethinking whether these contests are actually a sport or worth doing. So Duke's Mayonnaise got involved with college football a few years back, sponsoring the first ever Mayo Bowl. I think they've done this either 2 or 3 years. This year, they took it to the next level, pitting Appalachian State against East Carolina in a game held at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. During the first half, Dukes decided to add a sponsored element that sent fans running for the bathrooms. Two opposing fans, one from East Carolina and one from Appalachian State, competed for glory. Both competitors were shown on the Jumbotron trying to eat as much mayonnaise straight from the jar as possible.
That's crazy, right?
Straight, man, we're looking at they literally are taking their hand and just scooping it in this huge thing of mayo and then just throwing it down. The contest was equally as repulsive as it was captivating and entertaining. Each of the competitors would shove their hand in the mayo jar, come out with a handful of rich, creamy mayo, and swallow it down. It's unclear who won, and frankly, who cares? There are some foods, condiments that simply have to be consumed in moderation, and mayo should be at the top of that list. Kudos to the marketing team at Duke's, because they got millions and millions of social media impressions for a brand that's well-known in the South, but not so much in other parts of the country. Duke's contains a higher amount of egg yolk than most other commercial brands, which makes it more rich and creamy, and I guess makes it go down easier in an eating contest. I don't know, but Duke's also has a hint of tanginess from vinegar, and a touch of paprika in their recipe. So its texture is thicker than its counterparts and has a custard-like texture as opposed to slick and gelatinous. I don't know that that makes it worth trying to eat it in a eating contest.
All right. You disgusting. Joke time with by Woody, right? And I've done this since I was a little kid. Probably somebody told me in third grade and scarred me for life on mayonnaise. So this kid loved to eat him some mayonnaise. And right before bedtime, because mom wouldn't let him have that much, he went and got a jar and brought it to his bedroom. And he ate it and he licked it all clean. He ate the whole thing of mayonnaise and went to sleep. Woke up the next morning, jar of mayonnaise is full. He's like, damn, what's up with that? So that night before he went to bed, he ate the whole thing again, licked it clean. Went to sleep with a full belly. Woke up the next morning, jar of mayonnaise is full again. And so he eats it all again. And he's like, well, you know, I better figure this out. Maybe I'm going to stay awake tonight and see how what happens. So he played like he was asleep. And around midnight, he heard his door open and this little troll comes in and his whole body is covered with big, fat, white pimples. And he squeezed them all in.
Oh, my God.
And I've never been able to. I mean, I'll eat mayonnaise if it's like on my sandwich or something, but I mean, I'm not going out of my way to eat mayonnaise.
At least you went after acne there. I thought that joke was going in a different direction for a minute. So,
remember, I was like third grade when I heard it. So, well. Let's run out to the good old Waffle House. Y'all know we love us a good Waffle House story, but the same one that you're going to be laughing about. Yeah. Police are looking for a 38-year-old man they believe fatally shot an 18-year-old Waffle House employee in North Carolina while his food was being prepared around 12:40 a.m. on Friday, September 13th. Lambert police have issued an arrest warrant for Flower Carlin Lizano Jr., who is charged with first-degree murder in connection with the death of Burley Dawson Locklear III. And that's according to the law enforcement. And he's known as Carlos, or Chulo, Spanish for cool. Lizano is additionally charged with possession of a firearm by convicted felon and discharging a firearm in an occupied building. Police arrived within minutes of the gunfire, and they found Locklear inside the restaurant suffering from a gunshot wound. Police say Lozano had ordered food while standing at the Waffle House ordering window early Friday morning and became aggravated while the food was being prepared and was verbally abusive towards employees. He waited for his order and grabbed his food to go and then began firing shots. As he walked back to his dark gray Chevrolet, Lozano, turned and fired two shots in the direction of the business, one of which struck and killed an 18-year-old. Lozano then fled the scene. The 18-year-old, known as Pewdy or Stump Locklear, who graduated from Hope County High School earlier this year, later died at the hospital. Whether you saw him helping cook blooming onions or waiting near a table at Waffle House, he had that infectious smile, his family recalled, adding that he planned to follow in the family line of doing electrical work and wanted to own an electrical company one day, just like his papa. Now, Lozano is known to frequent Larenburg, as well as border and Dillon, South Carolina, as well as Florida, according to his wanted persons poster. We're still continuing the search for Lozano, police said on Tuesday. We encourage the public to keep coming forward with any information of the whereabouts of Lozano or sightings of Lozano. Lozano is described by police as a light-skinned black man with long dreadlocks, a beard, and mustache, last seen wearing a dark blue pullover hoodie, blue jeans, and white shoes. Fuck him. I mean, that dude's in there on the grills of steel, smothering, dicing, chunking for drunks at 12 o'clock in the morning. On top of evidently he worked at Outback, hustling, trying to make his way, good, pure dude, and gets wasted by a punk. Another gun-toting
punk. And this guy, I checked this morning. This guy's still out there.
Yeah,
Lozano is still on the loose. So
Can't outrun the war. It'll catch up.
Well, hopefully it does. I didn't even know that Waffle House had a drive-thru. All of their locations have drive-thrus?
It's not a drive-thru. It's a walk-up. But when you walk in the restaurant, and then all my cop years, all the cops I ate there like twice. But you walk in the restaurant, you have the booths where you can sit down, and they have your walk-up counter. It's a walk-up counter where you can place to-go orders. See what I'm saying? It's not a drive-thru.
Okay. So you're not. So he was in the restaurant the entire time.
At the walk-up counter, and the guy is on the grills of steel right there doing his business. And then he got offended somehow. Whatever. Fuck him.
Wow. Yeah. And 18-year-old kid's gone as a result of what? Them taking too long to prepare his.
What? Who knows?
Waffles.
Yeah.
Do you want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with a subject? Is your child ahead, not getting challenged enough in class? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to be curious, empowers them how to choose to learn. Now, Cindy used IXL in the classroom as a teacher and now uses it to homeschool our youngest son in the 9th grade. The videos are what she finds that benefits him most in math because he's a very visual learner. The perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum, IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational game lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving, and everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you're covering. Instant grading, helpful progress reporting, IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Flexible and personalized. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need. It's fun for kids, and kids love IXL's positive feedback, awards, and educational games. And it's trustworthy. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Well, this story, I'm fascinated to get your take on this story. I've been sort of just captivated by it since it came out. So Hezbollah, the Iranian-backed terror organization that operates out of Lebanon, was on the receiving end, I guess this was Tuesday, I think. Yes, it was Tuesday, of an attack on pagers. So you might say, pagers, what the heck? Who the heck uses pagers in 2024? Well, the terror group turned to pagers, sort of a top-down dictate from the top of the organization, if you will, to change from using mobile phones because they felt like the mobile phones could be too easily hacked and that, they've got a lot of enemies and they needed a safer mode of communication. So they changed to these pagers, and a Taiwanese pager maker is who they had hired to make these devices. Well, that company did some kind of licensing agreement with a company out of Hungary called BAC. What's come clear now is that that company in Hungary is not a Hungarian company at all. It's a front operated by Mossad, the Israeli spy agency. And so for months now, a period of time, Mossad has deployed these pagers to Hezbollah operatives in Lebanon, and with the ability to detonate these things anytime they wanted to detonate them. And so apparently there is some kind of counterintelligence on the Hezbollah side that that created some concern about the pagers that got back to Israel, that got back to Mossad officials, and they decided to go ahead with the detonations. And, you know, they've been criticized. The IDF has been criticized, Israel overall, Benjamin Netanyahu, for, you know, civilian casualties in Gaza, you know, associated with this war and their retaliation to Hamas. But it's always Hamas providing the statistics about how many civilians have been injured. And, you know, if you read deeply into it, Israel has been about as careful as any country has ever been in this kind of a war to do things that that are as exact as possible, that that create the least amount of civilian casualties as possible. And when you look at the percentages, they are much lower than what percentages have historically been of civilian casualties. But this brings, you know, targeting the enemy to a whole new level. I mean, the only people carrying these devices were the operatives of this terror organization. And then at once they all explode. And the, you know, if, again, you're thinking about a pager, people have them on their side or maybe they've got them in their hand. And so you had tons and tons of injuries. There's 19 deaths, but there's 150 injuries that are almost purely to IRGC or Hezbollah members, where they've either blown off their hands or their hand and then some of their arm, or they blew up their side and had some major internal damage. But those 150 people aren't going to be out there doing a whole lot of good for Hezbollah anytime soon. So
okay, about that, I was a NBC nuclear biological chemical warfare specialist, and one of the things that, like, Saddam used on his own people, I saw the photographs and stuff he actually tested, and this is before 9/11, all this during the first Gulf War. Chemical agents, when you drop them, one of them is a blistering agent. Everywhere a drop hits you, your skin would swell to this giant blister until it popped, and everywhere that ran, it would make more blisters. And that was never really to kill the soldiers. It was meant to incapacitate the soldiers, and more importantly, incapacitate the medical staff and all support staff and all the people that would have to take care of these people. So, I read that. And I also read it, maybe it had been like more like a walkie-talkie type thing. Whichever way it is, it's still ingenious. War's fucking war, man. And they can call it whatever they want to. And I'm not on sides, and I'm not taking sides, but we're not carpet bombing Germany and destroying whole cities, or England's not being carpet bombed by Hitler and destroying whole cities. And in the last 30 years since I was in, they've come up with rules of engagement. We didn't have all that shit back then. But, you know, I don't care who it is, if it's Russia, Ukraine, and back and forth with these people or whatever. You invade a motherfucking country and you start firing missiles, and you got a pager that I'm smart enough to put C4 inside of, and I can remotely detonate. Oh, well, fuck you. And they're going to blow you up. And again, it's not about killing them. Certainly they'd like to kill them, but it's more about incapacitating and psychological part. What the fuck else do they have? That's the real deal.
Exactly.
And it might think about, fire these missiles, this next round or whatever. And most of them don't hit anything, right? But a lot of, I mean, a lot of people have died, no doubt about that, on both sides. And I think it's horrible, but it might make you think twice. I don't know. I mean, fuck, they've been fighting for however many years, a long time before we were here, and probably a long time after we'll be gone. For all the innocent people that are getting killed, but soldiers are soldiers. And if you're running around doing nefarious shit against another country and they blow up your waistline, then fuck it, that's on you. You're a soldier, you know about it. So I don't have any sympathy for soldiers. I mean, I have sympathy, like that came out wrong. I don't give a fuck about somebody that gets killed in combat if you chose to be in combat or if you started the combat. How about that? And I believe everybody has a right to defend themselves. So I'm going to take you to the furthest thing from that last story that you'll ever hear. I don't think there's ever been a follow-up story more different than blowing up pagers in this next one. And our crack team of scientists at the WOW will often uncover stories from the animal kingdom that you need to know. That would be, crack team would be Mike Agabine. Like the bear story. Right? Today's little lesson comes courtesy of the European alder spittlebug. Okay, the tiny wing insect, which is also known as a frog hopper. Here we go, people. Farts out a foamy substance that forms a protective jacket around the bug. Now, a new paper reveals that this foam has some weird and wonderful properties, which are inspiring new skincare products. The bugs create the foam during their nymph phase, which is a stage of development before they reach full adulthood. During this phase, they are vulnerable to be eaten by predators, and the anal foam acts as a sticky trap that protects them from harm. Because the foam dries quickly, predators once captured struggle to get and die as the foam becomes stickier and stickier. The insects use their excrement to form the foam and shoot it out of their anuses. Now, right, many manufacturers of women's skincare products are taking advantage of the healing properties of this bug's ass foam by using it in the product line. He didn't get me on he does gossip today, but he damn sure got me on that one.
Okay, so I just think, what a badass thing. First of all, the bug is able to wrap itself in a blanket of shit.
Yeah.
And then it's able to shoot the shit at its enemies.
Yeah.
And then in the end, somehow someone decided that this bug shit might be good for your skin.
I had a story about that too, because it amazes me the shit they come up with and shit people put on their bodies. I don't use cologne. I've never worn cologne. Always been told I smell really, have a really good natural smell. But down in South Louisiana, in Empire, Louisiana, which is down by Bearsa, it's like 30 miles from the end of the road in Venice, right? You can't go any further south. They have a pogey plant, and a pogey is a small silver fish. They're really skinny, and if you can catch them alive, and it's a very short amount of time, you can keep them alive on a hook. They're great, great speckled trout and redfish bait. But they have these boats that go out and catch pogies, and they bring them into this plant. Now, down there, the land mass is not that wide. It's only like 3 miles from levee to levee, and it's a straight strip away. You have this pogey plant. And it's the fucking worst smelling thing you've ever smelled in your life. It's like the dump in the outside of a Walker. You could, certain times a day, you could smell it. It just take your breath away, make your eyes water. Do you know what they use it for? Fucking make perfume. They extract the oils out of this nasty ass smelling thing and make perfume. All the big brands have it in there. So ladies or gentlemen wearing your shit, it might be coming from pogies. Might not be from a
Spittlebug.
All our Spittlebug's ass, but it came from the ass of a pogie. Yeah. So there you have it.
Check your favorite face cream today to see if Spittlebug shit is in the list of ingredients there.
I'm putting in that shit on me. Done with it.
All right. Well, this was fun, Woody.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, brother. Thank you. And hey, we love all y'all. We appreciate you. And shit, it's almost into September. And stay tuned to Monday's show for the Nittany Lion.
Yes, sir. Thank you, folks. Haglets. Talk to you Monday.
Peace, y'all.